We're up here in the mountain states, where the rebels run and play. The Aggies got old Keaton back, and boys, he chose to stay. I'm on that Mountain West connection, and I'm going to soundbite my hot takes. My internet's up and wired, and my Skype is up and at 'em for that Mountain West Sprott's hot takes. Well, I'm gonna travel up to Reno, and I'm going to travel to Fresno. I'll take the train to Albuquerque and fly the plane to Hawaii. I've got that Mountain West connection. Gonna see Colorado State. Gonna fly with Falcons and surf with the Aztecs on that journey from San Jose to Wyoming.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection recap show, week 13 in the books. Check us out, as always, at MWCConnection.com, MWCConnection on Twitter, Mountain West Connection on Facebook, all sorts of fun places. Jeremy Moss hanging out with, as always, Chris Hondris for a late night.
Not always, but pretty much.
Well, 92% of the time.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
There we go. Two shows in a row. That's more accurate, but
I show up more than a team with three losses in a Power 5 conference showing up in the college football playoff.
So all seven teams from last week?
Pretty much.
there's a few less with my Utes going down pretty bad to Arizona, but we'll discuss about that later. We have rankings out. Did you see your Broncos are finally ranked?
Yeah. AP poll and coaches poll.
25.
Boise State ranked at 25 and Colorado State ranked as 21. And Marshall is only ranked at 18th and 19th. In the polls that are, quote-unquote, the most trustworthy, I think we are going to see a Mountain West team jumping Marshall. But the three best mid-majors are ranked, and that's the most important thing.
And Utah State, I must not have looked at this that closely. Utah State got a vote as well.
Woo-hoo!
There are some good games. There are some interesting games, some good games, some crazy games, some blowouts. Do you think this week was style point week maybe for a couple of teams?
Oh, this week was total style point team. And that's the funny thing was, even if we're about to recap all these games here, all five games were essentially style point games except for the very last one, which got just crazy as hell. And even then, that's a style point game.
if winning is style, that's all Hawaii needs. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're crazy games there. There's like I said, there's a
Marshall did great. Not get the style points this week.
Oh, so, no, they struggled mildly versus UAB.
Yeah, the only way they won was a defensive pick six,
and holding the field goals. UAB got a lot of field goals, I believe, a couple.
Yeah, but even then, UAB was winning 18-17 until that pick six, and that pick six was on a first and goal.
I got an interesting – we'll get with one podcast question now. Somebody asked me why does the – like something about strength of schedule. They're like, if the committee's not going to consider that, why should the Mountain West play strong teams? Well, they are considering that, so that's unfortunately on your end an inaccurate observation. If they weren't considering strength of schedule, Marshall would be right because outside of, Florida Atlantic and this game versus UAB, they've blown out everybody. So – So let's get that question out of the way. They are going to – look what Boise State did. Do you see the home and home versus Oregon State they scheduled about a decade down the road?
Yeah.
And if you look at Boise's schedule, I was looking at they're playing Michigan. I know they have BYU forever, but they have multiple two or more teams. Good. I'll consider BYU above average, very good team. Almost – them and Oregon State, pretty comparable in my opinion. Would that be accurate perhaps? As for brand and prestige a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But look at their plan. They have Washington State. Okay, whatever. But they got Virginia. They have Florida State. They have Connecticut. And their only bad team really is Troy. And Troy's a pretty decent Sun Belt team. Oklahoma State's on the schedule.
Troy is god awful this year.
Well, they used to be. They've had their time to
Are
be.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe it's been
Did
about
you just
4 years
say Troy?
Too late.
He's got 3-8 this year.
I said they used to be a couple years ago.
Oh, it used to be, yeah.
But out of all the teams on their future schedule, Louisiana, Lafayette, and Troy, and those, not to say, that, like you said, Troy's not very good, but they're not. You're not playing FCS. You're not playing the worst of the worst. You're not playing, who's a really bad team? New Mexico State or Idaho. You're not playing those guys. So strength of schedule is a big deal. Boise has Florida State. They have Florida State, I'm using air quotes here, scheduled to come to Boise State in 2020. Probably won't happen, but it's scheduled. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they have Florida State home and home, 19-20.
That's impressive. That's Oklahoma, you didn't realize that, right?
What was that?
Did you do realize that, right?
That what? I missed
That's
that
That's going to get canceled.
Oh, of course, natural, yeah. They have Oklahoma State at home. That probably is more likely to happen than not. It's, yeah, they got good teams on the schedule. Michigan State, it's a BYU, Washington State, Pac-12 school. That's not bad, but they're scheduling up. So in case they have a big run, they're prepared to have the schedule to back it up. Let's get to this week's games. That's what I'm excited about. Like I said, there's a, outside of hating the schedule itself, the lineup schedule, we had some interesting games. Let's start with Friday night, our dueling games Friday night.
Leave it. Yeah.
We did. Which one do you pick? Do you want Utah State winning or San Diego State winning?
I will pick the game that I watched.
So Utah State?
No, San Diego State.
Oh, I forget. You do get CBS Sports Network, and I used to not get that. So.
Yes.
We'll start. I flipped back and forth as best as I could. Made a few.
Worth as well. But after Utah State didn't make it interesting and San Diego State or Air Force still was making it interesting, then that's when I switched.
Me too. Yeah, I had three ads. I was working, so I had my basketball game up. I was required to watch in these two games. But we'll start with San Diego State Air Force. San Diego State wins.
State's bowl eligible.
Bowl eligible, 30-14. I'll need to check my handy-dandy chart to see if they are still eligible to win the Mountain Division. Or excuse me, the West Division.
Which let me pull that. You want me to pull that up real quick?
I actually have the condensed version. Because Loke, our good friend Loke, gave me editing rights, and I'm looking at it. Let's see here. Hold on. Where did it go? I have it scheduled somewhere down here. So many writers on the website and trying to find out where my draft is. But basically, there's not 200 combinations in the West. If San Diego State, here's what they need to do. So with them winning, they have two options to win the West. It requires them winning their game, no matter what. Hawaii beating Fresno State, and that's it. Nevada, UNLV game's pretty much inconsequential to them. They just need Hawaii and themselves to win, and they win.
Interesting, because you know what? Hawaii needs to win that game, so Hawaii can still win the West, too. So we'll get to that in a bit.
We will get to that. Let's just say this.
But in the meantime, San Diego State win. Keep San Diego State in the running to win the West. And it's impressive to me how they beat Air Force. This is an Air Force team that is really, really good with turnovers. They forced one.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was a Weston Stillhammer getting another interception. Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. It's right here.
Then Air Force, on the other hand,
ooh, the opposite.
Coughed up the ball four times. This is one of those things that it was almost reverse Boise State in the game that it happened, because Cale Pearson, 10 of 22, 171 yards. So that's actually fairly normal for him.
Well, he's usually a better percentage, I'd say. But yeah, he's been throwing a lot.
Much, much better percentage. But with Jacoby Owens up for the game, Pearson was also your leading rusher at only 59 yards. When was the last time you saw an Air Force offense only have 140 yards total rushing?
Under 100 yards? A long time ago. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And to top it off, Cale Pearson went down with an injury. Nate Romine had to come in the last few minutes of the game.
What was that injury? Because I didn't have the sound up. I was going back and forth. What was the injury?
I believe it was a rolled ankle.
Okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
We'll look at that later, but I just saw he didn't come back in. I was like, okay, I was curious to see what happened. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. On the other hand, you had Donnell Pumphrey. it was kind of, I don't want to say it was a lower game for him, but he wasn't as big of an impact as normal. 27 carries, 131 yards. That's 4.9 yards per game, which is good, but it's not his usual.
It's, I think, hand, slightly above his average.
Yeah. But I don't know. For me, it didn't feel like Pumphrey was controlling the game.
Sure, he didn't have all. Look, his long run, was it 17 yards?
16, yeah.
16 yards. So it's not like when he's played New Mexico or even Boise State rattling off long runs.
But you know who was back and who did make a huge impact? Ezell Ruffin, who was not back, he was back last week, but didn't make a huge impact. Oh, he made his presence felt. Quinn Kaler, 17 of 30 for 326 yards. You're like, oh, well, that's, you know, what Quinn Kaler. No. I don't think you understand. 17 off 30 is only 54%.
Yeah.
It's not even 60%.
Big plays, but accuracy is still an issue with him.
Yeah. And a lot of those, I think, were drops, too. I think there were about four or five drops in the game.
Mm-hmm.
This game could have been blown even more open.
Yeah, that and made four really, turnovers.
And really what killed Air Force, really what killed Air Force at the end, just lack of offensive efficiency, and then, you know, their fourth and final turnover, which was a pick six.
Well, and also they got shut out in the second half.
Yeah.
Because they came back. They had a nice 74 – excellent. That touchdown, that Garrett Griffin touchdown, that 74-yard touchdown pass, San Diego State defensive backs have to be embarrassed. That play, Griffin was – he needed oxygen mask to finish that touchdown. He kept looking back, like, the last 15 yards, looked back every second to see where somebody's at, and he was clearly slowing down and no San Diego State guy could catch him. Come on. You got to be embarrassed. You can't catch that guy who's clearly, he wouldn't have made it if there was another 5 yards. It's true though. But then they got the other touchdown. They're up 14-13, and Jacoby Owens is the big deal. You don't have him playing. And Pumphrey was technically 4 yards held below his average, so he did have a lesser game than normal, which is saying something. But man, this weekend a lot of teams like. We'll get to Fresno State, but San Diego State and Fresno, even Boise State, CSU, they all – it's like the best game they played all year, all-around game essentially.
Most complete. San Diego State, I've not seen them play a full, complete game all year long, and this is what they did. And they just – you know, yeah, they were losing at halftime, but third quarter they came out strong, ended in a field goal. They had another touchdown, and then – they, you know, the pick six, I mean, all the offense was completely working to a point, and then the defense had shut down what had, like I said, what had been to this point a very good Air Force team who only managed 329 yards.
Yeah. I may have missed it again because I said now the volume up. Was Jacoby Owens out heading into the game, or did something happen very early on?
No. He was out. He did not play it down.
Was there an injury I missed or something?
No.
I don't recall. Sorry, I'm not keeping up on every single team, folks, but I'm just curious. I'm like, didn't see him. He got no carries. I thought maybe I saw some on sideline before the game, some little note.
Yeah,
but...
I just found this out. Hold on. Jacoby Owens threw 3 days ago. He's suffering from a Lisfranc injury to his foot.
So he's out for the year. Lisfranc, yeah. He's done, most likely. Because that was the same injury for a call. Was it University of Utah? Johnny Paul suffered that in... Oh, geez, he suffered that. His is more extreme, but he suffered in spring camp and was missed like the first 3 weeks of the season. So Owens is done.
Owens said he was done.
Unfortunate. So,
yeah. So with that,
Air Force is out.
One game left versus Colorado State. I don't see a possible – unless Colorado State has a really – bad off game. I don't see Air Force winning this week.
Yeah, no one's out.
We'll get to that in our preview show.
And it's a short week on Friday afternoon, which we neglected to mention last week. We're looking at Saturday, so that's a Friday game. But Aztecs are still alive to win the West Division. Question, if Aztecs played this type of game versus any team in the Mountain, what percentage would you give them to win? Oh, did I mute myself there?
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. Am I back?
Yes, you are.
Oh, sorry. Lovely Google Hangout and randomly mutes people. What I'm saying, if the Aztecs play this type of game, what and the, if and they make it to the title game, would you give them a better than a 50% chance, 60, 70% chance to beat whoever may be Utah State, CSU, or Boise State?
No.
No? Okay, just, being honest, I'm just curious. They played pretty well.
No, I would give them a 40% chance, which is better than what I would have given them originally.
So that's less of the chance of them just showing up, because showing up you get 50% because there's two teams playing.
That's not how it
I know, I'm being a jerk.
That's not how statistics and odds probability works.
Next game, I know, I'm just screwing with you. Boise or Utah State hosts San Jose State, and I got another retweet from Kent Myers balling on Twitter. Thank you for that, Mr. Kent Myers. But 41-7.
And what's funny was it was 14-7 at halftime.
Yeah, it was close. And here's the thing. San Jose State, Joe Gray was out. Blake Jurek played one play, got tackled, sack or something. Because this, again, I was on Twitter kind of trying to keep up with what's going on. I'm like, who's this Mitch Raziva guy? Raziza. My name.
I think of Italian, Raviza.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, the pizza guy, Raziza. Raviza, there we go. Mitch Raviza. I'm like, where's the other guy? Where's Blake Jurek? So I'm looking up on Jimmy Durkin's Twitter timeline for the Mercury News. Oh, he's out. Oh, the backup, Tyler Irvin's the backup if Raziza can't go. I guess it was just him getting a big hit and gone, right? Was that the case?
That was the case.
So they're down to their third string quarterback. And what the game?
Quarterback.
Oh, another team. Yes. One more team to that area. But man, Utah State, Kent Myers is looking a lot more like Chucky Keaton than not Chucky Keaton with him running the ball as well as he did.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple things on these notes. First of all, Mitch Raviza, third string quarterback going in. 13 for 21, not too bad. 61 yards, really, 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 really bad.
That's brutal. But
Mitch Raviza gave a huge impact on the ground. 18 carries, 64 yards, and his elusiveness was what was able to kind of, I think, spark San Jose State a little bit more. And, yeah, they got blown out. But it was him who scored the lone touchdown, and it was, you know – I like this. I like these things for the future.
Yeah, I will.
On Kent Myers' end, though, the Kent Myers ballin' or K Myers ballin' Twitter feed keeps holding true.
Yeah, that's what keeps holding true. I mentioned that week one versus Y. The reason I'm mentioning Chucky Keaton because Keaton, we know how he plays. Keaton wouldn't necessarily run all the time. He would extend plays. He would. Run windy. There weren't many designed running plays for Chucky when he was a QB. Or even Daryl Gerritsen, who's also mobile. And that's what Kent Myers was. He had 4 for 92 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's not him running the ball 10, 20, like I said, 20 times or whatever it may be. It's him just running the ball as needed. 3 touchdowns, had 4 of the 5 touchdowns for Utah State. I'm still debating because he was 15 to 22, which accuracy is a pretty bright spot for him, but only 108 yards. There's not much more to discuss in this game, but we will a couple of things. But I'm under the impression because Utah State's played ever since she's taken over, the schedule has been pretty basic. They've been playing San Jose State, UNLV, Hawaii, and New Mexico. Those aren't any power teams by any stretch, even though New Mexico gave a run. With it only being a one-score game, 28-21. Do you think the coaches are holding him back and just prepping for Boise for him to go downfield and make big plays? Because he's not throwing the ball more than 10 yards a couple times a game.
No, because you know JoJo Natson's ability to basically break the game open. We saw this with Kent Myers and JoJo Natson
versus at Mexico. Wyoming. And New Mexico, too, yeah.
And New Mexico as well. I think they're letting him go. I think his comfort level is the short to medium passing routes. And it's one of those things that, I mean, I think while Kent Myers is the quarterback, the offense has really become more built around JoJo Natson. Because if you look at the stats, he only had 3 receptions for 29 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot. And his long was a 14, which you know has the ability to go even further.
Yeah.
But this is these fly sweeps where he's getting 7 carries, 124 yards. One of them is a 56-yard, I think that's a 56-yard touchdown. Yes, it is. You know, it's those kinds of things that Kent Myers, I think, has the ability to probably control run sweeps a little bit more, to figure out some option plays. And whether it's going to bode well for Friday night, yes or no, I don't know.
This game's Saturday night. This will be Saturday night.
Saturday night, I'm sorry. You know, I have seen the coaches let him throw deep. We saw that a couple times the previous week. I'm not sure if we saw that last night. I'm not sure if we needed to see it last night.
That could be the thing, too. They don't have to
because
blowouts, except for New Mexico.
Everybody knows San Jose State's Achilles heel is rushing defense.
And their secondary is pretty good.
Yeah. Utah State rushed for 313 yards. Utah State ever rushes for 323 yards. Like I said, when JoJo Natson, a wide receiver, is your biggest, rusher for 124 yards, Kent Myers, the quarterback, for 92 yards. These are just split options, fly sweeps, whatever. And then you have Joe Hill.
Who's back finally.
Joe Hill and LaJuan Hunt, both who are the running backs.
Yeah, the two running backs on the team.
The two running backs are picking up the least amount of carries, 54 yards and 43 yards, respectively. You know,
they have options. That's what
running is options there. Plus State's game.
But here's the thing, too, which Hunter Sharp, here's my only concern about them not throwing downfield. Hunter Sharp, he has had prior, like, if you look at Wake Forest, Arkansas State, BYU, Air Force. I know CSU is a bit different because Craig Harrison came into the game, but he had, so ever since Air Force, where he had 12 receptions, 464, he's had only two of his 7 touchdowns have come in the last half of the season. The most receptions he had is 5 versus Wyoming. He has not broken 100 yards since Air Force. He had versus New Mexico, he had 4 receptions for 8 yards, 3 for 20 versus San Jose State. He did find versus Wyoming 5 for 79, and then versus Hawaii he had 3 for 77. The one was a 70-yarder, so big play. But again, it's just, overall, his stats have not been what they've been because whatever the reason, whether Myers can't complete it, conference level, playbook, coaching style, whatever they're doing, he's not getting the ball downfield. And they need, if they're going to be Boise State, they're going to need to test that secondary, which is very good, but you can't rely on jet sweeps, underneath throws, and quick slants. They need to get something Hunter Sharp downfield a little bit.
No, absolutely. So, is there anything else to talk about this game? I mean, in general?
Zach Vigil and Nick Vigil are studs.
Well, outside of that.
They had a million tackles. It's good to see Joe Hill back because he hasn't really played recently. So, that's a good sign. Let's give our update for here's how Utah State. We'll get to in the preview show next week, or in a couple days, I guess. But here's Utah State's way to win the division. It's simple. They must win, just like everybody has to win. Nobody can lose, I don't think. But there is one option and one option only for Utah State to win the Mountain Division. They need to beat Boise State and have Air Force beat Colorado State. So we will know Friday night if Utah State's eliminated or not. So let's move on to Saturday.
And then there were 3, right?
Yeah. Three teams, or?
And then there were 3 who were eligible to win the Mountain Division.
Well, yeah, right now there's 3. Yeah, so 3 on each side. 3 Mountain teams and 3 West teams are still in the running.
No, 4 West teams are still in the running.
San Diego State still is?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have them on my chart here, do I not? Oh, my mistake. I apologize. They do, sorry.
We just talked about this.
We did. I am terrible. Sorry. Yes, we just talked about that. 4 teams. I don't know why I said whatever. Let me delete my little bit here.
Because you keep mistakenly thinking that Hawaii cannot make the championship.
No, I think it's San Diego State can't, despite them winning, which is false on my end. Or maybe it's Nevada losing, but they could still get in. But whatever. No, Nevada is out. Sorry. Next game, New Mexico at. It's confusing. There were 200 combinations in the West Division last week. Colorado State hosting New Mexico, and man, DeHart's good. That's all I got. 6 touchdowns.
DeHart's very good. Unfortunately, DeHart has not been this consistent all year long, which makes me just really, really confused.
Here's a stat line really quick. 20 carries, 230 yards, pretty good. 5 touchdowns, and then also caught 2 for 42 with another touchdown. And you're right, his consistent level, it hasn't been bad. Like, I think he just exploded because – he's had, 6 games, over 100 yards. Wyoming could have been better when half of his yardage of 87 was on one play for 46. So I think you're right where you'd like him to get over 100 yards per game. He's just kind of just below that or well above that, it seems like.
Okay, can I go ahead and officially give my endorsement?
To what?
Garrett Grayson for Heisman.
He did get the letter.
He did get the letter. I'm going to go ahead and endorse it with 2 or 3 weeks left, okay? And this is why. And this also might be I'm not going to say for sure because I think there's too many good players in the Mountain West for Offensive Player of the Year. But he's a very, very high contender for Offensive Player of the Year. Right now he sits 5th in the nation in passing yards.
Total yards, you mean?
Total passing yards, yes.
Okay, I'm pulling up. I'm just following along with you. Okay.
He's first in the nation, along with Marcus Mariota, for yards per attempt.
That's the guy from Oregon, right? He's pretty good, isn't he?
That's the guy from Oregon. That's the guy who's currently leading the Heisman race.
Okay, here's another interesting thing on that. It's 10 yards per attempt. Grayson has also had 17 more attempts, just to put that out there, or completions, I should say, and 31 more attempts.
So, it's close. He's not just overly throwing. No. This guy is throwing with the best of them. Mm-hmm. He has 29 touchdowns, which is tied for 7th in the nation. That's with Everett Golson, but that's behind Cody Kessler, which is Jared Goff, pass at Bear Raid. Marcus Mariota, Connor Halliday, which is, Air Raid.
He's out, though, too.
He's out. JT Barrett, OSU, quarterback heavy, and Brandon Doughty of Western Kentucky, which is also pass heavy offense.
Out of that group, Barrett and Mariota are the only Heisman contenders.
Yes. So Grayson has 29 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, which would put him in the lower contention, right?
What do you mean? Lower contention for what?
For those who are eligible for, throwing a pass.
Oh, yeah. He's tops in QB rating. Right, he's right behind Marcus Mariota. It's basically his numbers speak for himself. But he got snubbed for the Davey O'Brien Award, which is ridiculous as a semifinalist. I would say this: the only way I think everybody would agree with me, and I think you would too. The only way he's getting an invite to New York City is if Colorado State's in the Peach Bowl or Fiesta Bowl or something. Because that's proven the only reason. No Derek Carr, you had Jordan Lynch. Kellen Moore got in. No David Carr. You had Alex Smith as a finalist when he's in Utah and the Mountain West.
Yeah. And Grayson has just been performing just fantastically. In this game, he was 23 of 29 back to the game. 23 of 29, 389 yards. That's a 13.4 yards per attempt.
Yeah. And they just shut down.
Zero picks.
Yeah.
And then he got on the rushing act too. He had 3 carries for 17 yards.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's whatever. But here's the thing. New Mexico, they had Presley back, which I thought they could have helped him win with 109 yards. But this Rams defense, I think they're overlooked a little bit. They forced 4 turnovers. Lamar Jordan probably had his worst game as a starter. He 3 of 11. Did rush for 74 yards, but Rams defense stepped up. New Mexico, they got what they get. They got 300. It's weird. They get 301 yards and 7.5 per carry, but they get blown out.
I think, honestly, I think what it was look how much Colorado State scored before halftime. It was 37-7 before halftime.
Yeah, and all the Mexico State
was getting their job done in terms of shutting down New Mexico to begin with, avoiding the big plays. You know, Jarrell Presley had a 66-yard run, but no touchdown. Tarion Gibson, 32-yard run. Lamar Jordan, 23-yard run. Romel Jordan, 11-yard run. Even a reception when Lamar Jordan, one of his three attempts, was a 41-yard pass. This is one of those things that, you know, New Mexico had started out against Boise State just so quick, so hot. And if Boise State had basically shut them down to begin with.
Or if they at least knew how to play a proper option rushing attack, which they can't.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've seen the thing because, look, Rashard Higgins, and first of all, Colorado State had the ball first.
Mm-hmm.
They had the ball first, and they drove in under 2 minutes. But that was the only scoring for the first quarter. So not only are you taking the lead first, you're stalling the New Mexico offense throughout the whole first quarter. And then by the time it's 20-0, halfway through the second.
Not even halfway through the second.
When you're an option team, you have to start throwing the ball more. Yes, you can run, but it's going to be a very, very slow catch-up game.
Yeah, like, and CSU and
so
also.
By that point, you're going to be wearing down. You're going to be wearing down. Your offense, the defense would have already been worn down to that point, but your offense can't keep up with them, and that's where you're going to see a 37-7 at the half, or 51-7 midway through the third quarter, and, you know, garbage time touchdowns after that. Except there wasn't a garbage time touchdown, because DeHart still scored 58 points. You know, towards the end of the third quarter.
Well, Jim McElwain puts in his backups. That's the reason, specifically the Wyoming game where they scored 21 fourth quarter points to make it close. He puts in backups to build that depth up.
No, absolutely. I mean, I remember Chris Peterson doing the same thing, and we'll get to it, but Brian Harsin did the same exact thing as well.
Yeah, that Wyoming game was just a mess. So really quick.
How about Tyrese Simmons for Colorado State? I haven't really called his name at all this year. Tyrese Simmons, 2 interceptions for the Rams.
That's pretty good. I don't recall that name, being said, but hey, Rams defense, they're clicking on all cylinders. So I'm going to pose this to you now, so maybe you'll think about it at the end of the show. It's kind of with 1 week to play, kind of maybe – like coach of the year, player of the year, really quick. We'll run through that at the end. So a lot of good, like you said, plenty of good candidates. And it'll be quite interesting who pulls it out. The next game, after you waited 12 hours after this game, the next set of games came up. Thanks again for scheduling like garbage, Mountain West or TV, ESPN or whoever picked up these games.
Late night garbage. That was late night glorious.
Well, I'm saying you're waiting 10 hours. There's 3 games at once. That's why I hate when there's games at the same time. It's annoying. But I guess I'm glad there are because we'll start with Boise State, Wyoming. 63-14, Broncos crushed the Cowboys. Not even close. There was the good old Statue of Liberty play.
It was glorious.
As far as I'm concerned, there was no proposal postgame, was there?
No, there wasn't.
Cheesy joke, yes, but I had to mention that. But here's – they scored – every. If I'm correct, they scored a rushing touchdown, passing/receiving touchdown, an interception for a touchdown, and a special teams touchdown. Is that correct?
They did. They missed the kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah, well, special teams, that's good enough.
Right? And they also missed the fumble return for the touchdown. So that's where you were missing on
fumble. Well – they didn't hit the
touchdown.
No, that's blackout. That's not bingo. That's blackout. You get all those touchdowns.
Blackout? So they got missed the blackout.
Yeah, they got the bingo. Offense, defense, special teams, touchdown. Yeah.
And so I was mistaken earlier in the podcast. I thought it was Cale Pearson who had rolled this angle. No, it was Colby Kirkgaard last night who rolled his angle.
Pearson left. Yeah, I took a vine of that.
Done.
Yeah, I should probably check on that now. I didn't check on his status, but I looked at it. I wish I had my phone earlier to take a video. Not that's funny, but his offensive lineman picking him up to carry him off the field. He's like, get away from me. I want to walk. Which he had no – he couldn't walk at all.
He had to be – literally, he had two guys on each side getting carried off. After he was off the field, getting basically carried to the locker room.
Where was the card?
Any pressure.
Where was the card on that, right? To wheel him to the locker room? Where is there's no cart on that?
Maybe he's just that stubborn.
Too icy? I don't know. But, people are saying, like, if you see it wasn't him getting tackled was a big deal, but whatever the Boise State defender was, he mid-tackle, rolling to get him down, whatever. If you look closely, I took a vine of it. I think I have a screenshot on Twitter, too, as well, if you really want to look at it. But his ankle is underneath the Boise defender. Like, he lay right on top of the ankle. Some people are saying, look now, but if you remember when Utah State played BYU, Taysom Hill broke his leg. They're saying it's that type of injury, possibly.
Oh, God.
And that's a pretty nasty deal.
Oh, God.
Because for a call, it looks like Summer Bryant Sweet rolled on top, tackling, rolled on top of Taysom Hill, right on that ankle, foot, and, yeah. Looked nasty. But, Bryant Hill couldn't do too much. Boise pretty much got out ahead right away to win. There was a stall where they didn't get that other touchdown off the turnover, I believe. But once it was 20-7 after the Statue of Liberty, the game was over.
You know, so you know what's funny about this game? So Boise State scored 63 points. They still punted the ball four times.
Well, when you have a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, and recovering that botched punt when it started snowing late in the fourth quarter with short fields, that can lead – I guess that can lead to punt. I don't know if that makes sense, but – that is weird. You punt four. Whereas San Jose State scored 0 points and punted zero times last week versus Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. Dante Dion, fantastic punt return.
Touchdown. And
we could spend all night talking about all these different stats and how cool the touchdowns were.
Blowouts win, which they needed.
They absolutely needed it because now they're ranked back in the top 25 for the first time since last year.
Yeah, first time all year, better way to put it. But the main concern I've had with Boise State is, like, well, they haven't played it. Like, a lot of people have been noticing, mentioning Boise hasn't played a complete game all year in a long time. They snuck by Nevada, or it goes back to Air Force. They lost to Air Force. Nevada had a furious comeback. Fresno State played them tough. BYU was an exception. They played very well, but New Mexico was a poor game overall. And San Diego State. They have not played a complete game maybe one time out of the last 6 weeks in the BYU win. And they finally did it. And that's what they need to do and give people confidence to say, oh, we know they're very good, but they had a huge comeback versus the Aztecs, which is great, but you're down 20 points, nearly lose to a not a good New Mexico team. So they definitely needed this to show, like, hey, we know what we're doing. We can win. Doesn't matter the weather, the team, ice, snow, anything, wind. We'll score any way possible. And they played like a complete game.
Yeah. And for Wyoming, the bright spot for Wyoming was definitely still Bryant Hill. Bryant Hill limited 21 carries for only 65 yards, but he had two of both rushing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, though, he had four receptions for 32 yards. So you're starting to see Bryant Hill develop not only as a competent rusher, and once again against the stout Boise State defense, but also as a versatile player, similar to Jay Ajayi, I would actually say.
Yeah, Ajayi, 110 yards rushing, led the team in receiving with 92 yards receiving.
Yeah, and Bryant Hill was second on the team in receptions, right behind Jalen Claiborne, who's an actual wide receiver.
Yeah, so, an actual wide receiver.
That's what I said. Bryant Hill has definitely become the most valuable player for this Wyoming team and really a bright spot for the Cowboys.
Yeah, they'll get going. It just stinks with Kurt Gard likely out for the year. They play Tommy Thornton and Sam Stratton, more of an audition type thing. Like, okay, this game's out of hand. Even when Kurt Gard went down, it was pretty much out of hand already, if I recall. I think it wasn't in the third quarter, I believe. It was pretty much out of hand at that point.
But Saturday's game is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be, oh man, them playing Utah State, that defense.
No. They're playing, well, are we talking about Boise State, Utah State, or are we going to talk about Wyoming, New Mexico?
Oh, I was referring to the winning team to discuss.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. Okay.
That obviously is going to be game of the week.
Yeah. Can we have dueling game of the week? The Air Force CSU is pretty big too.
Fine, we can have dual
games. No, I'm just considering. Boise State, Utah State, two with Jacoby Owens out, I think we have to lean Boise, Utah State.
So, yes, next game.
Fresno, where have you been all year?
Apparently struggling to get to 6-6 like that. Hey, guess what? Fresno State, I think, went – did they go dual quarterback system? No, I think Condit only went in there for one play.
There's one. That was a weird play, some fourth down play, which was terrible, terrible type of play. Yeah, there wasn't any injury or anything. It was like, let's run and put this in and go for it.
What the hell? Brian Burrell was 313 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Where has this been all year?
And 56 on the ground with another score. He accounted for all 5 touchdowns.
Where has this been?
I know Nevada's pass defense can give up yards, but they give up yards and points. This is the first, like, Josh Harper was looking like Devontae Adams last night. Some of the catches he was making.
Yeah. And they rushed. Fresno State rushed 52 times.
And that includes losing Brian Burrell at the end of the first half to a shoulder injury.
They ran over 100 plays last night.
I have 99 here.
Yeah, 99, and then plus the special teams plays.
Oh, okay. I guess it's going offensive plays, but yeah. Those count. Special teams plays count too, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, especially safety.
Oh, that was terrible. That safety, I'm like, that looked like a miscommunication on the read option. Like, was it? Well, who made the safety tackle? Was it Ian Seau?
No. Fresno State scored.
I'm looking at something. I was staring at the Nevada logo. Sorry. No. How did that happen? No. Yeah, that play, whatever the play was, it was not. They brought the pressure and, like, oh, well, we got this. And, okay, really quick. Did the officials need glasses or something in this game?
Yes.
Did you happen to see the 12 men on the field that was not 12 men on the field? It took them about 8 minutes to review. That was ridiculous.
Let's do some basic counting.
We needed the count from Sesame Street. Yes. One,
three, four, five, six, seven, 8, 9, 10, 11.
I don't know what the deal was, but it took far too long to figure that out. And also, it brought up
the... How did you not figure that out in, like, the first place, though?
Well, I don't know. But going back and looking at it, it's like, where's the 12th guy? How long would it take them to look at the angles? And also, it brings up another point. I had no idea you can review that type of penalty.
When it's such a cluster...
Well, it doesn't matter. That you can't do pass interference.
This is true.
I just didn't know that type of penalty was reviewable.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was an upstairs official who was like, oh, shit, we screwed up.
I don't know. But this game, like you said, I don't know where this Fresno State came from. I'll give you the same question. If this same performance shows up against whoever comes out of the mountain, would you give them a better chance in San Diego State winning? No?
Yes.
Yeah, slightly.
Well, it just depends on who. It just depends on who's going to be the mountain representative.
Okay, I guess that's fair. But would you give him at least a? Well, we don't need to get that type of stuff. We got next week for multiple stuff we'll do for previewing the title game. But Fresno just looked unstoppable.
Cody Fajardo looked totally stoppable.
not running the ball. He looked very good. Fresno could not stop him running the ball. Passing the ball, another story. He was through less than 50% and only had 126 yards.
Which is very, very odd for him.
Yeah, and then the rest of the running game, I don't know what the deal was. I get Fajardo had a good game, but Don Jackson had 5 carries.
So Nevada could have – okay, let me say, Nevada could have easily – all Nevada had to do was win out, right? And especially beat Fresno State. They could have easily sealed up the conference for the division title last night.
Yeah, because they play UNLV, and they should beat UNLV for the Canyon.
Yeah. But now, losing the way they did, I'll be honest, I'm not even sure. Well, no. Okay.
Don't go that far. You can't go that far.
I'm pretty sure they can beat UNLV, but this was just such a piss-poor showing by Nevada and such a great showing by Fresno State that it's like anything's possible.
Well, it's the second half. The second half, they did nothing.
Literally nothing happened for Nevada.
At halftime, I was excited, man. 28-20. The end of the half, like, okay, look what's going on there. Actually, it goes before halftime because at the end of the half, they fumble. Was that a fumble they had at the end of the half? Yeah, Fresno intercepted, threw an interception. Nevada had a chance at the Fresno 21-yard line to go ahead and maybe tie the game or make it 28-27. Or no, not even 28-27. Just to score a touchdown. They fumble on the next possession. Then Fresno drives down the length, drives down 55 yards for a touchdown. And then they get the ball at the end of the half. That's the swing right there, the 14 points or the 2 touchdowns at the end of the second half. And then receiving the ball is what did them in. Nevada could have been leading at the half.
It could have been 28-20 at the half.
The other way around, though. Nevada winning. Nevada leading.
Yeah, it could have been 27-21 at half. Or 27-20.
Yeah, well, Nevada missed the extra point or was blocked. So, yeah, Nevada could have been winning at the half. And who knows how the game would have turned out, but they coughed the ball up right away after making a good play. Fresno goes down the scores. They scored going to get the ball, and that was pretty much the ball game at 35-20. And that pretty much sealed it.
Yeah.
Nevada missed a field goal, which is a big deal. It could have helped them out late in the game.
They missed an extra point.
And extra points. But, like, here's their second half. His second half. 3 plays, 9 yards, punt. 5 plays, 13 yards, punt. Missed field goal. 3 plays, -13, punt. 5 plays, -19, punt. Then the safety. They could not move the ball to save their life in the second half.
They had a backup punter.
That too.
They had their regular punter who 5 punts, 218 yards, and then they had a backup punter.
Nevada had arguably the easiest path to win the West Division. They had Fresno at home, and then they could play UNLV. But now Nevada probably going to the UNLV. You're right there, man. You will be there at that game, right?
No, I'm at the UNLV game.
Oh, yeah. Was this the game of the day, perhaps?
This was easily the game of the day. And what's hilarious is hardly anybody stayed up to watch the end of this game except for those of us who are still watching the comments.
Robert.
Oh, my goodness.
First off, there's the Matt Brown from Sports on Earth. He makes a good point. He wants the it's Robert. What's the guy's name for white? Robert. Kikulu. Robert Kikulu to be part of the mega cast for the playoffs.
Robert.
Yes. Yeah, Robert. Yes.
Kekaula.
That's why I said Robert Kikulu.
Yeah. Okay. You're
I think it broke up there or something. He should be on the mega cast for the whatever special channel they can make for him. Bring him on, right?
Unbelievable. You have no idea how this.
we might bring some of these guys on during the offseason. He would be on my top of my list.
Oh yeah, totally. Please, can we?
Sure. We're gonna keep doing football during the offseason.
Can we announce a fake football game with Robert Kikulu?
I don't know. That takes a long time. That takes a lot of setup to do.
No, it doesn't. We have microphones.
We'll figure out for this game. this game, first off, Hawaii is still in the running for the West Division. They could be 5-8 and play in the Mountain West title game. So for those who were unclear about that, that is accurate because there was a lot of confusion last night and this morning. But you told me you watched more of this game than I did.
I watched all of this game at the same time while I was watching the other game.
Okay.
It was on my laptop.
So what was up with the quarterback situation, Leibowitz and Decker? I see they basically split time.
Honestly, I have no clue. And no, they did not split time. Decker only came in the fourth quarter.
What?
Okay. Leibowitz was out there the whole game. He started the whole game.
I saw he scored first.
Was pulled at the beginning of the fourth quarter for Blake Decker.
Why? And do you know?
I don't know. I think it's because Decker sucks. And then Decker pulls something like this, and everybody's like, oh, Decker doesn't suck. How the hell did he leave?
That's weird, because the fourth quarter, dang, if you started for the fourth quarter, you're in for a treat. It was 21-14 in favor of Hawaii, and Hawaii scored the three prior touchdowns to make it that score. The fourth quarter.
Yeah. So UNLV jumped
a lot of points. A lot of points.
Hawaii then scored 24 unanswered. At that point, I think everybody was like, okay, this game's over, and most people went to bed. No.
Not you.
Sullivan, hey, look at this. Look at UNLV receiving. And this is why I think that UNLV has a good chance of winning the game on Saturday, even though they're not going to win. Devontae Davis, 5 receptions, 163 yards. Devontae Boyd, 4 receptions, 91 yards. Micah Mataele, 5 receptions, 54 yards and a touchdown. Marcus Sullivan is back.
Who's that? Who's Marcus Sullivan?
The second punch of the 1-2 punch for UNLV, who was supposed to keep this team decent this year. 2 receptions. Only 2 receptions for 41 yards. And a touchdown. He got everything going. 14-yard pass from Blake Decker. Brought UNLV back within 3. And then right after, Hawaii goes all this drive and, and basically punts the ball, okay, and then back and forth. Mika Mataele,
Touchdown.
But that was 1 minute 19 seconds with 4:51 left. You only scored in 1 minute and 19 take the lead, 28-24.
I noticed that. Here's the drives. 31 seconds for the touchdown, 1:19 for a touchdown, UNLV, 2:45 for Hawaii, and that 2:45 was 82-yard drive. It's ridiculous speed. Is Oregon playing Washington State or something?
Yeah. Hawaii then scores 31-28 in 2:45 with 2 minutes left in the game. Then UNLV takes their time with a meaningful drive, a 75-yard touchdown drive in 1:45. To take the lead 35-31, and you figure, holy hell, UNLV has this, they won the game. No, what happens is...
Not so fast,
my friend. Four unsportsmanlike penalties called on UNLV after that touchdown because people are understandably excited.
Here's the thing. Me and Chris, before the show, we're looking through, where's the penalties? We looked at multiple drive charts. Some have it, some don't. All we know is that if you take your helmet off, you're on the field, it's a penalty.
It's a penalty. It's a 15-yard.
Marcus Sullivan and somebody else. But it's the same penalty.
So people called for the penalty.
Oh, I only saw 2. There's only 2 enforced, I guess?
Supposedly one that's allowed to be enforced. If you have the same amount of penalty, if it's the same exact type of penalty, you're only allowed to enforce it once.
Yeah.
So that was enforced on the point after attempt. It was a 38-yard kick for a point after attempt. 35-31. Where they got this other 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, and if somebody who knows the rules better than we do wants to explain it to us.
Hold on. Let me text Mike Pereira real quick, okay?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. You do that.
Okay.
Okay. So UNLV then kicks off from the 10-yard line, return, sets up Hawaii on their own 40, on the UNLV 42-yard line with 12 seconds left. Okay, Woolsey takes his time, misses, gives up, goes deep, 7 seconds left, okay? You know, or sorry, 5 seconds left. Then yeah, he completes seconds. It, and people are saying, oh, that clock should have struck zero. I disagree. I think the time being stopped at 1 second is actually fine.
Yes, because if you look, our guy, one of our UNLV guys, Tyler Bischoff, I was spacing, he put up a good post today, put some GIFs, put a timer up with the play. Here's the thing. It's not like basketball. His point is very good. Is that basketball, there could be 6.9, 6.2. Football, 5 seconds. So who knows if it was 5.9, 5.1. And when it stopped, it could have been 0.2 or 1 point. You know what I mean? There's no point decimal point in basketball. And he put a timer up against it, and the play is less than 5 seconds from snap to incompletion.
No, and that's where I agree, and I totally agree.
But you can see how UNLV would be. UNLV would be questioning that because it's the road game and all that stuff.
No. And it's very understandable that UNLV, but I actually had no issues. I just had the issue on the penalty enforcement, the kickoff. But
confusing to say the least.
Whatever it was, first down, 10, 20 yards to go for a touchdown with 1 second left. And Marcus Kemp, just a beautiful catch in the end zone as time expires. And that's the game. Hawaii wins 37-35. You know, that's okay. That's 21 points total between both teams scored in the last 2 minutes of the game.
And this is your quarterback still, Woosley, throwing the ball.
This is Ikega Woosley.
Yeah. And remember, he's your quarterback, right, leading you down the field. And also, there's another questionable, not that it would have mattered at the game, but where was the flag for Hawaii with the whole team running down the field without their helmets on?
You know, there's that too.
But it wouldn't matter. They took a knee on the extra point. They just said, we're not doing anything. We're just taking a knee. Game over. They won by 2 points.
Yeah. But Ikeka Woolsey, 13 of 21, 229 yards. Joey Iosefa.
Iosefa!
Beast mode, 35 carries, 219 yards. Along with Diosmi St. Joseph.
Whoa, you're forgetting his one for one. His perfect stat line is 1-1-1-1-1. 100%. One for one, a touchdown on a 1 yard pass, average 1 yard of play.
Hey, Brenda, that's because he's number one.
There you go, even better. But this, oh my goodness. This was a game to see.
That was a fantastic.
Yes, fantastic finish there. It was, I don't know, UNLV, hey, they showed up in the fourth quarter as well, so Decker might be starting versus Nevada for the Cannon, but.
He should.
Here's the thing now. Let's go over the series. Hawaii, yes, at 4-8 can still win the West Division. That is correct. Our guy Loke and I, he did most of it. I did very little. Went through painstakingly through a lot of these to make sure we went through the tiebreaker deep enough to make sure. We went to, I think, tiebreaker D or E at some points on most of these. Most of them went to D. Here's how it turns out for Hawaii. They have only one chance and one chance only to hit the triple cherries there to get to go to the title game. They need UNLV to win, and that's in Sam Boyd because you'll be there, correct?
Yes.
So Nevada goes to UNLV. Hawaii needs UNLV to win. They need San Jose State to beat San Diego State, which doesn't seem likely, but hey, things have happened. But with Donnell Pumphrey going up against that rush defense, I'm pretty sure Aztecs will win. But they need to win to beat Fresno. San Jose State to win and UNLV to win, and they'll be 5-8 and be in the Mountain West title game. That's embarrassing. 5-8.
If Fresno State wins, though, they will be 6-6. They will be bowl eligible, and that means that the Mountain West will have used up all their spots for their bowls.
They have six, correct? Maybe seven if somehow if the champion does go to a New Year's Day bowl game.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Did I hit mute or my computer just stop?
Okay. So Fresno State, though, if they beat Hawaii, I think they'll make it to the title game. They'll be at 6-6, and that will be seven teams that the Mountain West will be bowl eligible. So can we go ahead and say we want all those bowls.
Of course, yes. So the thing I'm looking at now, the best a team could be in the West Division is a set to represent is a 7-5 San Diego State team.
Or a 7-5 Nevada team.
No, Nevada's out of it.
No, Nevada can't be out of it.
They are out of it.
How are they out of it?
Oh, let me get my tiebreaker out. Let me get scheduled. Right now, for Nevada is 3-4. Let me pull up Nevada's.
They haven't lost the tiebreaker versus San Diego State, did they?
Wait. There, we went through a bunch of these. We could be wrong, but we are pretty confident they're out of it because here's who they lost to. They've lost to – they beat San Diego State. They lost to Air Force.
So that's the head-to-head versus San Diego State no matter what.
What it comes down to is the three-way tie. That's when head-to-head doesn't matter anymore because them losing to Fresno and
being – That's assuming that Fresno State wins. So you're – okay. So
no, even before that, no, because right now, San Diego State beat Fresno – or, sorry.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. You got me?
Lost you again.
Am I back?
Yes.
That's what it's really – no, the reason why it's confusing a little because there's a three-way tie, the one-to-one ties, because Fresno beat Nevada – but Nevada beat San Diego State. Fresno beat Nevada but lost to San Diego State. Hawaii beat Fresno State but lost to Nevada.
Okay. So, right – oh, okay. No. Yeah, I see that they have four conference losses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay, I get it.
The reason because once you get to – well, we went through the tiebreaker. Once there's multiple teams tied head-to-head, you go from the next best team down.
That – we can hope for right now is San Diego State basically winning, going 5-3 in conference and 7-5 overall. If Fresno State wins, Fresno State will actually win the conference at 5-3, be 6-6 overall. But if they lose, Fresno State loses, and then Nevada wins, then Nevada wins the conference. Is this correct?
Nevada cannot win the conference.
Nevada cannot win the conference at all.
They cannot. I'll double-check the larger chart, but we went through this. They cannot win because because here's the thing. If they win, they're 4-4. If San Diego State loses.
Oh, right. They had to win out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, they had to win out.
Okay, right. Yes. No, I get it.
It is confusing, so I don't know the process in front of me because I only have the final week matchups of how it can play out, but they had to win both games. And Fresno State actually
had – how did you blow this?
I don't know. They did. Here's the thing. Fresno State has more chances to win the league than San Diego State does.
Yeah, all they have to do is win.
I believe that's correct. Let me make sure.
Yeah. All they have to do is beat Hawaii on Saturday.
No, they can also – there's one combination where they can lose and still get in.
And that's if San Diego State loses.
And Nevada wins. So there could be a 5-7 Fresno team in the title game.
It's too confusing.
It is. It's.
I need alcohol after this.
Yeah, me and Luke, I went through four scenarios with him. It took me 90 minutes. So I don't know how he went through and did over 200 combinations to figure it out. On the West side only. West division only. Yeah, because Fresno – because it's who Fresno is beat. It's amazing they can lose and still get in. But it comes – in the simplest terms, if Fresno wins, they're in, regardless of any other combination. Is that simple enough for you?
I'm done. My brain hurts.
Okay. We're done with that. We have 1 week left. Wow. 1 week. Really quick, since I don't know how much you had to think over this, but do you want to give our quick early – not early, but – like who would your offensive player of the year be? We have quite a few options.
You're going to be shocked when I say it.
Okay.
Right now I'm going to say Garrett Grayson.
That's not shocking.
It would be because I'm a, Boise State homer. And I automatically say J.H.I.
Of course, yeah. Well, no, yeah, I guess you offset my hatred toward Boise, right? Is that correct, I believe? Yes. Is that how this works?
Yes.
That's what people say. Do you have any – does it matter if any predicated on a team winning the conference is who you'd pick?
Yes.
So if the Rams don't go to the title game, would you still pick Garrett Grayson?
Possibly. It just depends on how much Jay Ajayi affected the win over Utah State.
Okay. I would pick – thing is, I think the best player really is Donnell Pumphrey, but I can't pick him. You know what I mean? Like, it's different. We know the thing. The best team on the best player on the best team wins the award. But I think Pumphrey is the best player in the Mountain West. I think. I don't know. I would go – I'd probably go Jay Ajayi just because of his combination of what he could do. Pumphrey's the better running back, in my opinion, like pure running back.
Jay Ajayi has been the better all-purpose.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He receives the ball. He catches out of the backfield. I'll give a stupid answer. Not stupid, but kind of a cop. I think if the Rams win, if Rams make the title game, it's Grayson. If it's Boise, it's Jay Ajayi. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those two, I would consider Donald Pumphrey. I'd consider Rashard Higgins. I would consider it's offensive player. Who else is really good offensive? Not Jacoby.
Would you consider Grant Hedder?
Yeah, maybe. Let me pull up his numbers real
quick. Most accurate passer in the league.
I'd consider D. Hard, who has 16 touchdowns. Maybe. No, maybe not. Let me look at Hedrick's numbers really quick. He is, 72%? Too many interceptions, in my opinion. And he's good. But 13 interceptions.
Four of those came in one game. Four of those came in another game. Three of those, outside of just three bad games, essentially, he's been fairly dominant.
He has the second most interceptions in the league.
Right, but I'm just saying, four interceptions came against Ole Miss. Four interceptions came against Air Force. And then since then, he had two interceptions against San Diego State. But everything else, I mean, you take away just those eight. So you just take away those two games. He's got 2-4.
But you're hearing yourself. Take away just over half of his interceptions and he'd be the best player.
No. Take away those two games. Take away those two games.
I know, but still, it's half more than half his interceptions in two very bad games.
Right. And listen.
I get you. Sorry, go ahead.
He is 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions passing, and that's not including the additional 6 touchdowns he has rushing. And the one
I get your.
And the one touchdown he has receiving as well. Because he has caught for a touchdown.
I got you. I know, I understand. No, I got you.
He's not going to win, but I'm just saying, you're, you know, Martinez.
He's easily my number two quarterback in the league. Easily. Just overall play. He's my number two guy. Here's the thing. If you look at it, if you look at the numbers, like yards per game and stuff, Blake Decker's number 3. So, yeah. I'd put Hedrick above Cody Fajardo just because Fajardo.
Fajardo's been on and off.
Yeah, he's good. They're close, but I'd give Hedrick the edge. So, another question. Defense, assume it's Zach Vigil regardless, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Zach Vigil or Nick Vigil? Zach Vigil, I would actually go ahead and put Dante Dion up there as well.
Okay, that's six interceptions now?
6 or 7.
What about Frankie Sutra, man? Utah State, he has 7 interceptions.
Frankie Sutera, yes.
Sutera, sorry. Dante Dion has 4,
but Connor Hudson for San Diego State should be up there as well as Weston Steelhammer.
Steelhammer has... I don't know, it'll be tough because Frankie Sutera has 7. Steelhammer has 5, but Steelhammer also has, how many tackles for losses and sacks? He has a modest 5 tackles for loss for the year and also 3 sacks. I think most of his highlights from that Boise game, which is still huge, but I think what Zach Vigil has done, like tackles for loss and sacks, it's him, and I think it's him alone. Because he has right now 18.5 tackles for loss. 18.5. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And if you even go by sacks, he has 8 sacks. It's like, it's hard to argue that anybody's been – well, you can argue, but I think that's – you either get one or the other. You either get tackles for loss or sacks. You're usually not getting both.
So, okay. So, just sorry. Dante Dion has 4 interceptions, and Darian Thompson has 6 interceptions.
Yeah, it'll be – I don't know. I could see – I don't know, even if you look at B.J. Larson, Utah State, he has 8 sacks on his own, which is actually more than Vigil. Zach Vigil, I should say.
I think Satira or Zach Vigil.
What else does Satira have? I know 7 – he has 0 touchdowns. Anybody has 7 interceptions. Jeez, 7 interceptions is crazy. I don't know. He might. He has – for a defensive back, he has 6 total combined sacks and tackles for losses. I don't know. I think I'm going to go Zach Vigil just because I only have 68 tackles, Sutera. So, I don't know. I go Zach Vigil. That's an easy answer, I guess.
Frankie Sutera has 7 interceptions. He's got 68 tackles.
Yeah, 68.
20 of those are tackles for losses.
No, they're not. They're not 24 tackles for loss.
Yeah, 20 tackles for loss.
For Sutera, he has – that's 20 total yards you're looking at, pal. Four and a half
tackles for loss, 1.5.
That's 6.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. I
was looking at the wrong stat. I'm sorry.
I know. All right, so who are you picking then? Sutera? Sutera?
Sutera or Vigil?
Okay, I'll go Vigil, Zach Vigil. So coach of the year is crazy in my opinion. I have no idea. Because what if Norm Chow wins the Mountain West?
Holy shit.
I'm just saying, 5-8, you went to Mountain West, you're going to Las Vegas? Maybe. No, they would actually stay home if they win. So I think that's the thing. They'd stay home if they go to a bowl game.
No, actually. I think they'd go to Vegas. There's a big enough Hawaii population here in Vegas that it would support.
Well, I think they're in the bowl thing. I think in the Mountain West contract, if Vegas or if Hawaii's in the bowl game, they stay at home. Outside of them going to a big money bowl.
I don't know if that's actually in their new contract written up.
Yeah, no, maybe not. Regardless, yeah, Vegas, they'd be fine going there. We know they'll get people there and everything. They'd get a better opponent. But so who would you pick for Coach D? Like right now, no matter what.
Or Brian Harsin? Would you pick Brian Harsin?
Well, I'm just saying the amount historically, it's always been whoever wins the conference. You have Brian Harsin, first year head coach in the league, wins the conference. Jim McElwain has the team ranked for more than half the year. They could finish 11-1. You could have, honestly, Norm Chow. You could have Matt Wells if they get into the title game and win. I don't think it's coming anybody out of the West unless it's do you think Tim Drueter would get it if they win the league? I don't think so. I don't think Rocky Long would get it if they win the league. So it's really those two guys, Harsin or McElwain. And I can't make a pick now because there's still one more week left. Next week is going to be amazing.
It will.
Do we have anything else to add? Do we want to run down? We have games Friday night next week, just so you know, Black Friday. Do you have any additional things to add about this week?
Nope.
Anything about next week you want to ponder?
No, I think we're done for the night.
We are done. Just so everybody knows, really, just super quick, there's only one game on Friday. Everything else is on Saturday. And we will – hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. That'll be pretty cool, right? I guess?
Yep.
All right. Assuming you're finished here. So let's wrap it up. We are done. Thanks for listening. Check us out, mwcconnection.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. 80% of the time we're on Blog Talk Radio. And, again, I hate every team and I love every team. Is that how we end this thing?
No. We're biased against every team.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We are – you can take it wherever you like. We're biased against every team. So your team, we're biased against you. And check us out next week and visit our website, and we'll see everybody next time for our Week 14 preview show.